It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A gorgeous day outside.
Oh, it's beautiful.
This is picturesque and perfect. Good morning on a Tuesday. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We've got a show out live at the University of Michigan. Golf course. We're hanging out. It's beautiful out here today. The National Title Trophy is over there. Sharon Moore will join us at 9:35 this morning. Taking over as the new head coach. People expect to step back. Get some of his answers on the roster and where they're at as they shape up for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I don't think that step back is not necessarily just because of the coach. We saw on game days he's more than capable. It's roster. It's offense.
Oh, yeah.
Offensive line, which is his specialty. It's quarterback, which we've seen him develop, and J.J. McCarthy as coordinator. What can he do as a head coach? But you mentioned I had an experience this weekend, and I was Ruby. Is playing in her very last AAU tournament. She's going to be a senior. No more travel basketball. But I've experienced this situation, whether it's travel baseball, softball for Ellie, or basketball for Ruby, where, and this weekend was a little bit different. The tournament was Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Normally they're Friday, Saturday, yeah. Sunday. And that last day of the tournament, I'm of the mindset, as soon as you take the field of play, whether it's on the court or on the diamond, you're out there to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the sole focus. And you're hoping for that next game. Even if you're in the consolation bracket, and let's just call it what it is, the loser's bracket. It's okay to say that term. Sometimes you get a chance to win and play another game. You could still win that bracket. I hear this from so many parents, whether they are actively cheering or it's just kind of under their breath. That last day of the tournament, they're like, hey, if we were to lose this first game on Sunday morning or yesterday, Monday morning, we could get on the road and get home with a little bit left in the day. As a parent, are you one of those individuals, whether you say it out loud to another parent or you're discussing it on the sidelines, or it's just under your breath, that at the very end of a travel tournament, no matter what the sport, that you're hoping that your child loses that game simply so you can get home sooner? And if you are, what in the hell are you doing? Why would you even go to a tournament where you thought, well, we'd like to show well, but on the last day I want to lose so that we can go home early? It doesn't make any sense.
I love how much this bothers you as a competitor. Other parents just kind of chit-chat in the stands. Go, you know, if we were to lose this game, we could be back before dinner.
Hey, I'm all for getting the early games on whatever the last day of the tournament is and getting it wrapped up, winning a championship. You can wrap it up by noon, get home. That's great. But I can't understand the mindset of, well, we spent all this money on hotel rooms, on travel, whether it's just drive to or fly to, simply so that we can get home earlier and not win it? What's the investment for then?
But parents, be honest. I know you're out there. John will judge you. I will not. I think you're lying if that hasn't crossed your mind. John, you said it. If they're in the loser's bracket, too, think about it. If you're in the loser's, you can't win the tournament at that point. You're not rooting for your kid to strike out. But if the game can move at a tidy pace and they could lose and we could be home, parents absolutely think that.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. I'm not telling you they don't. I'm not going to argue that. I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've heard actually parents talk on the sideline, hey, if we lose this one, we could be home by noon.
Now, to be clear, the championship game, you want your team to win. But if this is, you're like in some round-robin loser's bracket.
Hey, you could still win the loser's bracket. You could still earn an opportunity to play another game. You are taking the field every single time to win the game, even if it's only
your kid
one
is.
Game.
You're not. You're in the stands. You're there either way, right?
Hey,
you're waiting.
The mojo is definitely there for you. Your kids can read your body language. And if you wake up in the morning and you're like, you're packing things up, and you may because you're going to get check out of the hotel anyway, but if you're sitting there, and they could tell that you want them to lose, That infects the team. Losing and winning are infectious.
You are not blaming the parents for their kids losing. You're not
doing that.
You're not
I
doing
am
that. No.
Because it all plays a part.
Stop
if you're
that.
Going driving to the
if you have a bad attitude at breakfast, your kid's going to strike out that day. No, it's their performance.
Oh, come
but
on.
What you are rooting for is a parent. If they're not in the title game,
if my
you
parents
want...
don't believe if my biggest supporters don't believe I can win, they're not actively cheering for me to win. They want me to lose. Yeah, it affects them.
You can root for your kid, not
they're
root for
very
them to win.
Influential okay. Individuals.
248-539-9797. John overheard some talk this weekend. Hey, if we lose this game, we could hit the road. Parents, has that been you? Have you heard that? 248-539-9797. I'm not telling you you're not rooting for your kid individually. When you talk baseball or softball, you want to see them stand in there.
Oh, so you want
deliver.
Your kid to go 4-for-4 but still lose?
But they lose and we get home early.
Oh, come on.
If you're not playing for the championship, you're playing for your kid to play well, that's enough, right?
You take the field of battle to win
here we go.
Every single time. Yeah, there are lessons to be learned when losing, and it makes the winning so much sweeter. But no, you don't go to the court, you don't go to the diamond, you don't go on the field with anybody in your camp believing that you should lose. Right? Jared Irons? Jared Irons is here. Man.
This is what happens, people. John's dapping up people left and right. Hey, good to see you.
One of my prettiest teammates ever. Man, look at it. He is always put together.
I'm trying to be like that. Look at John. So
look at him. He carries himself,
oh,
right?
Man.
But
look
this is
that.
The experience. All you guys, if you've been listening for a few minutes, maybe you don't know. And you don't see when we're off air. People are coming up to John. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, it's like Rico in East Lansing. He's the mayor of East Lansing.
He knows whether everybody.
It's not,
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Whether it's not actually by title or not, he is.
But you're right. I mean, Rico's got so much pull in East Lansing. He put my mug up on TV last year as the sad fan.
That's right.
At least you haven't done that to me.
He threw you and your wife under the bus.
He's like, just frame them right. And they stayed on the shot forever. Like, you've seen Sad Fan, and they go, 1 second, 2 second, cutaway. This was one, two, three.
How many
eternity.
Screenshots did you get
my
from that one?
My phone's buzzing.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting here going, can the backup QB come in so we can cover the spread? That's who I am.
See, I don't have that pull here in regards to television cameras.
Okay.
I mean, that is 100% Rico, the king of East Lansing.
He is. Ticket text coming in, 248-539-9797. And again, we want some phone calls this morning to get inside the head of parents. Ticket texter says, typical loser mentality from Cookies. Hey.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, it's okay to lose. I'm going to go ahead and root for the fact that I want to be able to, you know, get home earlier. You don't even have kids.
I'm sticking up for the parents. It's human nature.
Oh,
human nature, John. This one says Cookie's in a rush to get home early for his bolognese. All right, what else we got? This one says,
get on his video game.
Says, I have three kids. They're all three-sport athletes. We live on a lake and have a boat. I pull all three out of sports for the month of June and July so we can enjoy the lake. I never want to be in the position you're discussing, but I agree with John. You play to win the game.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that is a great text because if that's your mentality, you'd rather be on the lake. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. So then pull your kids out so that you don't infect the rest of the team. Mr. Cookies.
You play to win the game. A lot of Herm Edwards on the ticket text right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ton of Herm Edwards. What else we got coming in here? It says, guys, we just took a team predominantly 90% current former Michigan high school hockey players out to Boston, won the Chowder Cup.
Oh,
massive
nice.
Tournament, travel ramifications. We had players and families changing flights multiple times as the playoffs were going to make sure we could have everybody there. You play to win the games, Gilly at work.
It's if that was this weekend, that was a tough weekend to be trying to find and maneuver travel because of everything that set off on Friday morning.
John with his macho BS bro, you got to get used to this. This is how people are. You don't have to get used to it.
I don't have to get used to it, nor will I.
Ticket text coming in. John is 1,000,000% correct. Jim, you're a dumb ass. Never played competitively.
Glad your filter's working better than mine.
To be clear, this is what happens. I get misconstrued. Okay?
Oh, do you?
I'm not saying.
You took the side of it's okay to whether you voice it or you're just whispering amongst other parents. You're saying it's okay to lose.
If you're competing as an athlete, as a competitor, man in the arena, You are not trying to get home early. If you are the parent who has no control of the outcome of the game, you're sitting there.
But you
it's
do.
A long
Fans
week.
Do.
No, I
right?
see,
you got to have the rally
no.
cap on the sidelines. You turn it inside
it,
out.
It.
All of a sudden, hey, we're coming back. Here we go.
You've done weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend of these trips. Your kids aren't in the winner's bracket. They're not first, second, or third. They're playing their fourth game in 2 days. They're getting their teeth kicked.
Still
you
feels
just
good to be able to come home
as
knowing
a parent,
you won
not
that
as
last
a kid.
Game.
Okay.
Does it matter what it is?
These are two different. This is parent versus kid. I'm not saying kids should lie down and quit to go home early and play Xbox, John.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying if the parents who've been there all weekend want to get a jump start, I don't blame them for it.
And you want to get home so you can play your you know college football 25. We got to get home. I got to get another season in.
Hey, Kansas is not going to win the Big 12 by themselves.
How many seasons do you have in now?
We're in the fourth season.
So what year is that? 2028?
That sounds right.
That's insanity.
Big second half push coming. All right, we got ticket text phone calls to get to. We will talk to Michigan coaches today. Sharon Moore in the 9 o'clock hour, 9:35. It's 97.1. And we've got to tell you about Moran Chevrolet. Slide into the summer the easy way with Moran Chevrolet. You can lease a 2024 Trax 1RS for $294 a month. That's just $999 down. No employee discount required. Moran has shipments arriving daily. What does that mean? It means you avoid the biggest headache with the car buying process. You show up, you got a car in mind, and they don't have, what do you mean you don't have it? This is the car I want to buy. With Moran Chevrolet, they're getting those shipments daily. They're going to have the car you're looking for. Pick up your new ride or have it delivered directly. How easy is that? It's only at Moran Chevrolet where you get the best price, period. Search inventory, moranexpress.com, or in-store, Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
John is trying to shame parents this morning for a completely normal human reaction to their kids wrapping up a tournament.
Just calling it as I see it.
Hey, if we lose this game, we hit the road early. They're not competing in the championship. You overheard this, and it got your blood boiling.
I've overheard it for a couple of years, and it just – and this was something that we experienced not from our team this weekend, but from parents that were coming and going, and they kind of were like, yeah, you know what, we got a game, and if we win, we're going to have to – a game at 8. We win, we're going to have to sit around until noon, maybe 1 o'clock. Man, you know what? If they lose this one, we can get on the road early. I'm calling BS on that.
And we have callers who want to react. Nick in Northville, you're on 97.1. Or, sorry, Chuck. Chuck, you're first up in Dexter – or, Chuck, you're first. You're on 97.1.
Oh, hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Good. So, yeah, we had a pond hockey tournament up in St. Ignace one year, and we played games on, you know, Friday and Saturday, and then we had an early Sunday morning game, and we bundled our kids up. I think it was like -3 regular temps. It was like -20 or -30 wind chill with a wind blowing off the lake, and we get them all bundled up, get them out on the rink, and the whole other team didn't even show up. They went home Saturday.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. They didn't even show up to compete?
No, we were so mad. We were so mad.
That's bad.
Yeah, they didn't give us a heads up, nothing. I mean, that was horrible.
Oh, man. Where was the other team from? Go ahead and call them out.
I was going to say, John, you need to call them out. I was going to give you the name, but Mount Pleasant.
No!
Oh, that's
no!
I am
this is
not
scripted.
Surprised.
This is not fair.
Yeah, fire
this
up is, chips.
No, this, I don't believe
fire
you.
Up chips.
This
must have been a
slander.
They were having a rough weekend. They were getting smoked pretty good all weekend, and we were too. They were the only team we beat the whole weekend, so we were looking forward to getting another win under our belt. But yeah, it was horrible.
Oh, Chuck, you don't have to call and lie to us. Appreciate the phone call. Mark and Dexter, you're next up.
Yeah, I agree with John. You know, my daughter played travel softball, and you know, we had those same parents that you could overhear them saying, you know, we want to get on the road early and hoping the team's going to lose and this and that. And you know what? Those are the same parents that the opening meeting, you know, my wife would always get mad at me because I'd roll my eyes. You'd be sitting in the opening meeting to the season and the coaches going over the schedule and which practice time we're going to be. And then you get the parents raising their hand that want to know about snack and when's the snack schedule coming around. And I used to just, I'd be like, snack? I mean, are you kidding me? But anyways, I experienced that with my daughter. She's 24 now, and it's been 3 or 4 years since she's played. And you know, just what I want to say is it goes quick. So enjoy that time, you know, because you're going to wish you had it back. I can't tell you how many times we'd be on vacation or driving somewhere, and we pass a restaurant or somewhere that we went to eat between games, and my daughter would bring that up. And so, you know, those times are going to fly by, and you're going to wish you had them back.
Oh, there's no question. And I've still got more to come with Jack and Ellie. They're you know, one's going to be a freshman, the other one's still in eighth grade, and obviously Teddy. But that was the last tournament for Ruby, and kind of the same thing. We were down in Louisville, and there were so many things. We were there a couple of times last year for tournaments, and it is. It's all the things that happen around the tournament. And then there's moments on the court where, you know, you just get that opportunity for kids to either step up and make a play. And some of those things happen at the damnedest times. And if it's on Sunday.
The last day.
And all of a sudden, it finally clicks and it comes together. You want to be able to see them win. And even if it's the loser's bracket, go out with a win.
Texter says, Jansen's right. The kids feel better about themselves if they can salvage, say, a 2-2 versus a 1-3. Affects the whole drive home and how they view the tournament.
Sure it does.
Texter says, sports parents sacrifice so much. If they internally wish they could get home sooner, I don't have a problem with it. Just don't vocalize it. Keep the internal thoughts internal.
I know, but that inside voice, it plays into body language. Your kids can read that body language. Jim, you are not welcome to watch my kids play on the final day of a tournament.
You think I could vibe with them?
You're going to ruin the mojo.
Texter says, after attending hundreds of travel soccer games for my kids, I became numb to whether they won or lost a particular tournament. It doesn't matter in the big scheme of things.
You get numb just watching it.
Plus, not every tournament has the same stakes. Sometimes coaches use them to try out different formations and positions. Okay, it says, as such, losing meant a lot less to some teams. I didn't say root against your kid to struggle. I just said I understand the parent who's logged this person hours and hours and hours going.
It's always better to win, okay. Jim, no matter the circumstance. It's always, always.
I hate what you're doing. You're putting me in the camp of losers.
You're doing it yourself.
I don't want to be in the camp of losers.
You put yourself right there.
I'm just trying to empathize with regular, average American people who experience this at their kids' travel tournaments. I'm just trying to empathize with people, John. I don't have kids. I don't know why I'm defending these people other than trying to be nice. And I end up in the loser's argument. Okay, one more that I wanted to read. It says John needs therapy. Let me find that one again.
I need therapy.
It says John needs therapy. Every parent has said or thought this. It's okay. It doesn't make you a horrible parent.
I'm not going to say it makes you a horrible parent, but it's when it does affect your body language matters.
That's the
to
thing I
kids.
Don't get. Your body language isn't deciding squat.
It's not, no, but you influence your kids. Everybody knows parents have a huge influence on their kids. Leading up to a game is no different.
Let's Mr. Costa. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
All right, so Connor Stallions is set to share his side of the alleged sign-stealing scheme within the Michigan football program in a Netflix documentary. So Netflix announced on Monday that the fourth season of Untold will include an episode called Sign Stealer, and it's going to be released on August 27th. And they say during that episode, Stallions will break his silence on the scandal that turned him into a viral villain. Will you watch?
Well, of course.
I'm going to watch because I'm curious. I want to know What does he say about the sideline at CMU? What does he say about how he got the funds to pull off the scheme? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does he include any of the coaches in the dissemination of the information? Was he directed to do this? I also realize these are very one-sided the way that a lot of these are done now, like the Pacers doc or the Jordan doc. I doubt that the week of Michigan's season kicking off, he's going to stab a knife into the program that he loves. I doubt he's going to put them in a bad light.
I want to hear more about the manifesto taking over Michigan football.
Spirit Airlines fired two gate agents after they had this, you know, big meltdown at the Hollywood Burbank Airport earlier this month. So there's a passenger who captured the whole thing on video, and he says that when he arrived at his gate, it was really crowded with travelers from a delayed morning flight. So there was a bunch of people there at the gate. There was people who were there for a different flight and then this afternoon flight, and the passengers were getting frustrated because they weren't getting the proper information, and then the gate agents were also starting to lose their cool. And here's what went down. They just lost their cool. You know, yelling shut up to everybody probably wasn't the best idea. But I understand when you're frustrated.
The frustration, yeah.
And people are asking you questions you don't know the answers to, John. And you just start getting frustrated. So I understand it. But when you're in that position, you have to keep your cool. You have to remain calm. And after this video went viral because it was posted on TikTok, Spirit says that they're aware of the video and the two agents involved are no longer working with the airline. They did an internal investigation. So the guy who posted the video does say he feels bad. He wasn't trying to get anybody fired. So he does say sorry about that one. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee is not too happy with Jake Paul's energy drink company. So the Olympic Committee is accusing Prime, that's the drink, of trademark infringement. And now they're suing. So in this lawsuit that was just filed on Friday, the committee alleges that Prime has been using symbols and phrases that are trademarked by the committee on one of its drinks that features Olympic gold medalist and NBA forward Kevin Durant. So they say they sent a cease and desist letter, but Prime basically ignored it, continued to use the phrases like Olympian, Team USA, Olympic, going for gold, those things that are all trademarked. So now hopefully this lawsuit will put an end to everything.
And that we'll see. We'll see. Heather with the news. We've got a lot still coming up today as we are out live at the University of Michigan Golf Course. Sharon Moore going to join us at 9:35. Kirk Campbell, new OC, going to join us at 8:50. Coming up next, Michigan Mad Libs. Some big questions for the Wolverines for the upcoming season. Fill in the blank next, 97.1. Hanging out live in Ann Arbor, University of Michigan Golf Course today. Jim Costa, John Jansen, joined by Michigan offensive coordinator Kirk Campbell and the favorite to win this golf outing today, is my understanding. Is that true?
Well, first, thanks for having me, but I don't know about that. I'm just out here to have some fun, so hopefully get some birdies.
Come on. Out here to have some fun. Winning is fun.
It is. You compete in everything you do, so hopefully we come out with a W.
I got to ask you, because with so many players coming back on defense, a lot of the focus this year is going to be on offense. And you've been a part of this organization for some time now. And whether it was as an analyst, as a quarterback coach, now as coordinator, all of the focus is going to be, number one, on the quarterback position. But it's also going to be on that offensive line. As a coordinator, as you enter fall camp, what is the biggest question that you want answered from this offense?
Yeah, all right, overall identity. What type of offense are we going to be? Are we going to be a downhill physical run team? We're going to be a perimeter stretch team? Are we going to be a ball control pass team? Obviously, we're going to come out with the mentality we want to dominate the line of scrimmage, but how is that going to look? What's the presentation to that? What are the run game? What is our true identity coming out of fall camp?
the quarterback position. What does it come down to? How many guys are in competition? What ends up winning that job?
Yeah, we got a handful of guys in the competition. I'm on record as saying this. We got a number of guys. I think they're major Power 5 starters. It's my job with Coach Moore to decide who's the guy that's the best to lead the team. There's only one football. But the guy that's able to play within the system, fundamentally sound, execute football and not turn it over, gives us the best chance to win football games.
When you're in the thick of that competition, and I'll ask Sherrone this as well, obviously you want to make that decision early in camp, and whether it's publicized or not, how important is it to make that decision as early as possible so receivers, O-line, the chemistry of that offense can grow and develop?
Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, there's a vision, there's a leadership mentality, but you also don't want to rush to that decision. You know, I've been a part of this in the past. This is my fourth time going into a fall camp where the quarterback position's up for grabs. One time we made the decision way too early, and it was wrong, so you don't want to rush to it, but you do want to give the guys a clear vision of what's going to be. I know they fully trust in us, the players fully trust in us as coaches to make the right decision, plus everybody in that room has done a great job of being a leader, so I don't think that's going to be as big a transition as it may be perceived on the outside.
So John tells me he has no inside info, but he threw out the idea earlier, getting Will Johnson the ball on offense. What do you think? Is that something you guys would be interested in doing this season?
I can't go on record saying that, but he's a really good football player. He does a lot of spot catching for us as quarterbacks. I tell you what, he can catch the football.
When you see athletes, and obviously defense, they've got a lot of great athletes. I experienced it as a teammate with Charles Woodson, having a guy come over in spot duty. How do you evaluate a guy that you don't maybe necessarily see running routes? How can you look at him and say, yeah, I could utilize him in this route or in this situation?
I think it's having an open mindset, being able to see physical traits, physical skills, his ball skills. I know we're talking about Will right now, but to see him on defense, break on the ball, how he's a hands catcher. I mean, you go back to some of the interceptions he had last year, just plucking them right out of the air. But then he does some spot catching for us as quarterbacks. We throw him some fades and all that stuff. We're going to keep him warm. We call it keep him in the hopper, and you never know what could happen with Will.
The receiver room overall, if you're a Michigan fan listening right now, you might be wondering, okay, I know you got Samaj Morgan, I know the tight ends. The receiver room as it sits right now is unproven. What could you tell Michigan fans about the group that you guys have there?
I think with guys that we have coming back, we had a really good core group. We didn't have a whole ton of depth. Ron Bellamy has done an outstanding job adding Amarion Walker and C.J. Charleston, plus the two freshman receivers that have come in, Amarion Stewart and Channing Goodwin, that we have a very, very skilled group. They might be on rotation. But there's a lot of guys that can get the job done on Saturdays.
You mentioned trying to find the identity of this offense. Do you have a preconceived want or wish when you go into, or a preconceived idea going into fall camp? I think our offense can be, whether it's physical, and I know that all five guys up front are going to be new, they're going to be different. You know, some guys have some experience, but when you go into fall camp, how are you going to develop that identity?
Yeah, so I think it's a daily process. It's how we script practice. We script with intention. You just don't want to throw plays out there and just like, oh, let's see if we can do this. No, we want to be a physical offensive line. We're going to win football games because of our physicality, and people fear the winged helmet. So we got to be intentional with how we script that, being gap scheme, downhill, physical run schemes. But on top of that, we got to suit to our players' assets. You know, Donovan is really good in space. Samaj Morgan, really good in space. Just to name a few, I can go down the list. Kalel Mullins, really good downhill runner. So, like, that's going to be part of our identity, and how we mold the blend of those players with what we are going to be physicality is how you achieve that.
Donovan Edwards, a lot of talk, he could have had a big year a year ago. Obviously, Blake Corum in the backfield takes up some of the oxygen. How does he step in now and have the big season that maybe he anticipated he would have a year ago? How do you guys get that out of him?
Yeah, I think he's been outstanding through spring ball, summer workouts. He's been a leader. He's been selfless. But, you know, he's hungry. He wants to touch the football. It's my job to make sure he does that. And it's being creative on ways how to get him the football. You know, I think Donovan is best with ball in hand, right, getting him out in space and then complimenting him with some downhill stuff. So, you know, put him in different situations that maybe fans haven't seen him in the past, and let's see how he does.
When you're trying to evaluate a quarterback and you've got receivers that are talented but inexperienced, and it's the same thing at receiver when you have so many different guys that are trying to prove that they can be the quarterback. Same thing with offense. I mean, there's a lot of new on this offense. when you talk about scripting with intention on, you know, and trying to develop that identity, how do you script a practice or a week's worth of practice leading up to the first game to try and develop the chemistry that this offense will need, whether it's O-line, receiver, running back, quarterback? I mean, there's so many new parts to this offense.
Yeah, I think you got to make sure that the guys that need to touch the ball in critical situations, you got to script the ball to them being the primary targets. You know, we're talking about the Colston Lovelands. You know, Marlon Klein stepped up there. But just scripting the ball through their hands, right, making sure that the quarterback has an opportunity that they're the primary target. And then we also, you know, through that, if the receiver does – you know, make a drop or not, we track targets and location, all that. But just continue to be intentional that we are putting the quarterback in the offense, if it is a pass play, that we're trying to put the ball through our best player's hands.
You mentioned Colston Loveland, and we kind of glossed over it in regards to there is – Donovan is back, Colston's back. Mm-hmm. He is widely agreed upon as the best tight end in the country. What does he provide your offense in regards to, one, the comfort of having a target like that, but also there's a lot of things that you can do when you have a tight end of that caliber?
So first off, Colston Loveland, absolute beast, stud. His offseason has been outstanding. I don't want to divulge everything that we're going to do with him, but we're going to be creative with Colston to make sure that, you know, we have to counterpunch anybody that wants to take him out of the football game. That's going to be their primary target on defense. Let's stop 18. Well, it's my job and the offense's job to put him in situations and not let that happen. And we have developed him in that way. Coach Casula has done an outstanding job of, you know, not just teaching him inline stuff, but moving around. And we'll be prepared for whatever defense wants to do to us with Colston.
We're checking in with Michigan offensive coordinator Kirk Campbell, part of the Big Ten, is bigger now. Your thoughts on adding in an Oregon, who could be a heavy hitter, a big game on the schedule, USC, which becomes a tough game on the schedule. What's your thought of this new look Big Ten and what it means for you guys?
Love it. We embrace it. We want to play the best competition in the country. We want to leave no doubt at the end of the season that we're the national champions. So bring them on. We'll play them anywhere, anytime.
I know you've been a coordinator before. I know you had experience at Penn State, obviously at ODU. You were the coordinator there. Now you're going to be a coordinator playing against those teams like Texas, like, you know, so many of these great opponents, Ohio State at the end of the year, Oregon. How excited are you to be able to make your mark even more so on this program, but also as a head coach?
Yeah,
I mean, as a coach.
Yeah, it's obviously a great opportunity. Love playing the best teams in the country. I'm a firm believer, you know, the players are going to win the football games. We got to make sure that we put them in the best position to succeed come Saturdays. So, yes, I'm excited to go out there and score as many points as we can and hopefully one more than any team we ever play. But we know it's a player-led team. We got to make sure that we put them in the best position to succeed.
Kirk, appreciate some of your time, and good luck this season.
Thank you, guys. Go Blue.
It's 97.1. Hanging out live in Ann Arbor, University of Michigan golf course today. Jim Costa, John Jansen, joined by Michigan offensive coordinator Kirk Campbell, and the favorite to win this golf outing today is my understanding. Is that true?
Well, first, thanks for having me, but I don't know about that. I'm just out here to have some fun, so hopefully we get some birdies.
Come on.
And some fun.
Out here to have some fun. God. Winning is fun.
It is. It is. You compete in everything you do, so hopefully we come out with a W.
I got to ask you, because with so many players coming back on defense, a lot of the focus this year is going to be on offense, and you've been a part of this organization for some time now, and whether it was as an analyst, as a quarterback coach, now as coordinator, all of the focus is going to be, number one, on the quarterback position, but it's also going to be on that offensive line. As a coordinator, as you enter fall camp, what is the biggest question that you want answered from this offense?
Yeah, all right, overall identity. What type of offense are we going to be? Are we going to be a downhill physical run team? Are we going to be a perimeter stretch team? Are we going to be a ball control pass team? Obviously, we're going to come out with the mentality we want to dominate the line of scrimmage, but how is that going to look? What's the presentation to that? What are the run game? What is our true identity coming out of fall camp?
The quarterback position. What does it come down to? How many guys are in competition? What ends up winning that job?
Yeah, we got a handful of guys in the competition. I'm on record saying this. We got a number of guys. I think they're major Power 5 starters. It's my job with Coach Moore to decide who's the guy that's the best to lead the team. There's only one football. But the guy that's able to play within the system, fundamentally sound, execute football and not turn it over, gives us the best chance to win football games.
when you're in the thick of that competition. And I'll ask Jerome this as well. Obviously, you want to make that decision early in camp, but whether it's publicized or not, how important is it to make that decision as early as possible so receivers, O-line, the chemistry of that offense can grow and develop?
Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, there's a vision, there's a leadership mentality, but you also don't want to rush to that decision. You know, I've been a part of this in the past. This is my fourth time going into a fall camp where the quarterback position's up for grabs. One time we made the decision way too early, and it was wrong, so you don't want to rush to it, but you do want to give the guys a clear vision of what's going to be. I know they fully trust in us, the players fully trust in us as coaches to make the right decision. Plus, everybody in that room's done a great job of being a leader, so I don't think that's going to be as big a transition as it may be perceived on the outside.
So John tells me he has no inside info, but he threw out the idea earlier, getting Will Johnson the ball on offense. What do you think? Is that something you guys would be interested in doing this season?
I can't go on record saying that, but he's a really good football player. He does a lot of spot catching for us as quarterbacks. I tell you what, he can catch the football.
When you see athletes, and obviously defense, they've got a lot of great athletes. I experienced it as a teammate with Charles Woodson, having a guy come over in spot duty. How do you evaluate a guy that you don't maybe necessarily see running routes? How can you look at him and say, yeah, I could utilize him in this route or in this situation?
I think it's having an open mindset, being able to see physical traits, physical skills, his ball skills. I know we're talking about Will right now, but to see him on defense, break on the ball, how he's a hands catcher. I mean, you go back to some of the interceptions he had last year, just plucking them right out of the air. But then he does some spot catching for us as quarterbacks. We throw him some fades and all that stuff. We're going to keep him warm. We call it keep him in the hopper, and you never know what could happen with Will.
The receiver room overall, if you're a Michigan fan listening right now, you might be wondering, okay, I know you've got Samaj Morgan, I know the tight ends. The receiver room as it sits right now is unproven. What could you tell Michigan fans about the group that you guys have there?
I think with guys that we have coming back, we had a really good core group. We didn't have a whole ton of depth. Ron Bellamy has done an outstanding job adding Amarion Walker and C.J. Charleston, plus the two freshman receivers that have come in, Amarion Stewart and Channing Goodwin, that we have a very, very skilled group. They might be on rotation. But there's a lot of guys that can get the job done on Saturdays.
You mentioned trying to find the identity of this offense. Do you have a preconceived want or wish when you go into, or a preconceived idea going into fall camp? I think our offense can be, whether it's physical, and I know that all five guys up front are going to be new, they're going to be different. You know, some guys have some experience, but when you go into fall camp, how are you going to develop that identity?
Yeah, so I think it's a daily process. It's how we script practice. We script with intention. You just don't want to throw plays out there and just like, oh, let's see if we can do this. No, we want to be a physical offensive line. We're going to win football games because of our physicality, and people fear the winged helmet. So we got to be intentional with how we script that, being gap scheme, downhill, physical run schemes. But on top of that, we got to suit to our players' assets. You know, Donovan is really good in space. Samaj Morgan, really good in space. Just to name a few, I can go down the list. Kalel Mullins, really good downhill runner. So, like, that's going to be part of our identity, and how we mold the blend of those players with what we are going to be physicality is how you achieve that.
Donovan Edwards, a lot of talk. He could have had a big year a year ago. Obviously, Blake Corum in the backfield takes up some of the oxygen. How does he step in now and have the big season that maybe he anticipated he would have a year ago? How do you guys get that out of him?
Yeah, I think he's been outstanding through spring ball, summer workouts. He's been a leader. He's been selfless. But, you know, he's hungry. He wants to touch the football. It's my job to make sure he does that. And it's being creative on ways how to get him the football. You know, I think Donovan is best with ball in hand, right? Getting him out in space and then complimenting him with some downhill stuff. So, you know, put him in different situations that maybe fans haven't seen him in the past, and let's see how he does.
When you're trying to evaluate a quarterback and you've got receivers that are talented but inexperienced, and it's the same thing at receiver when you have so many different guys that are trying to prove that they can be the quarterback, same thing with offense. I mean, there's a lot of new on this offense. When you talk about scripting with intention on, you know, and trying to develop that identity, how do you script a practice or a week's worth of practice leading up to the first game to try and develop the chemistry that this offense will need, whether it's O-line, receiver, running back, quarterback? I mean, there's so many new parts to this offense.
Yeah, I think you got to make sure that the guys that need to touch the ball in critical situations. You got to script the ball to them being the primary targets. You know, we're talking about the Coastal and Lovelands. You know, Marlon Klein stepped up there. But just scripting the ball through their hands, right, making sure that the quarterback has an opportunity that they're the primary target. And then we also, you know, through that, if the receiver does – know, make a drop or not, we track targets and location, all that, but just continue to be intentional that we are putting the quarterback in the offense. If it is a pass play, that we're trying to put the ball through our best players' hands.
You mentioned Colston Loveland, and we kind of glossed over it in regards to, there is, Donovan is back, Colston's back. Mm-hmm. He is widely agreed upon as the best tight end in the country. What does he provide your offense in regards to, one, the comfort of having a target like that, but also there's a lot of things that you can do when you have a tight end of that caliber?
So first off, Colston Loveland, absolute beast, stud. His offseason has been outstanding. I don't want to divulge everything that we're going to do with him, but we're going to be creative with Colston to make sure that, you know, we have to counterpunch anybody that wants to take him out of the football game. That's going to be their primary target on defense. Let's stop 18. Well, it's my job and the offense's job to put him in situations and not let that happen, and we have developed him in that way. Coach Casula has done an outstanding job of, you know, not just teaching him inline stuff, but moving around, and we'll be prepared for whatever defense wants to do to us with Colston.
We're checking in with Michigan offensive coordinator Kirk Campbell, part of the Big Ten, is bigger now. Your thoughts on adding in an Oregon, who could be a heavy hitter, a big game on the schedule, USC, which becomes a tough game on the schedule. What's your thought of this new-look Big Ten and what it means for you guys?
Love it. We embrace it. We want to play the best competition in the country. We want to leave no doubt at the end of the season that we're the national champions. So bring them on. We'll play them anywhere, anytime.
I know you've been a coordinator before. I know you had experience at Penn State, obviously at ODU. You were the coordinator there. Now you're going to be a coordinator playing against those teams like Texas, like, you know, so many of these great opponents, Ohio State at the end of the year, Oregon. How excited are you to be able to make your mark even more so on this program, but also as a head coach?
Yeah,
I mean, as a coach.
Yeah, it's obviously a great opportunity. Love playing the best teams in the country. I'm a firm believer, you know, the players are going to win the football games. We got to make sure that we put them in the best position to succeed come Saturdays. So, yes, I'm excited to go out there and score as many points as we can and hopefully one more than any team we ever play. But we know it's a player-led team. We got to make sure that we put them in the best position to succeed.
Kirk, appreciate some of your time, and good luck this season.
Thank you, guys. Go Blue.
It's 97.1.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.